Dear friends, at this Christmastide, let it be our care and delight to hear again the message of the angels, and in heart and mind go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, and with the shepherds and the wise men adore the babe lying in a manger. Therefore, let us read and mark in Holy Scripture the tale of the loving purposes of God from the first days of our disobedience through the glorious redemption brought to us and all creatures by this holy child. And in company with the Church Universal and the heavenly host, let us make this city glad with our carols of praise. At this time, let us remember in Jesus' name the poor and the helpless, the cold, the hungry, and the oppressed, the sick in body and in mind, and them that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, and all who do not know the loving kindness of the Lord our God. These prayers and praises let us humbly offer up to the throne of heaven, and in the words which Christ our Savior himself taught us, we're going to pray together the Lord's Prayer. So I think we all know it, but just in case. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now I'm going to call up our first reader, who is there.
Yes, I need to hold this in my hand. Did I take it? Yeah. All right. First lesson. When they heard the sound of God strolling in the garden in the evening breeze, the man and his wife hid in the trees of the garden, hid from God. God called to the man, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid." God said, "Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from that tree I told you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you gave me as a companion, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and yes, I ate it." God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" "The serpent seduced me," she said. "I ate and I ate." God told the serpent, "Because you've done this, you've cursed yet beyond all the cattle and wild animals. Cursed to slink on your belly and eat dirt all your life. I'm declaring war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He'll wound your head, you'll wound his heel." He told the man, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from, don't eat from this tree. The very ground is cursed because of you. Getting food from the ground will be as painful as having babies is for your wife. You'll be working in pain all your life long. The ground will sprout thorns and weeds. You will get your food the hard way. Planting and tilling and harvesting, sweating in fields from dawn to dusk, until you return to that ground yourself, you yourself dead and buried. You started out as dirt, you'll end up dirt."
I'm not a singer.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power.
The second lesson is Genesis 22:15 through 18. The angel of God spoke from heaven a second time to Abraham. I swear, God's sure word, because you have gone through with this and have not refused to give me your son, your dear, dear son, I'll bless you. Oh, how I'll bless you. And I'll make sure that your children flourish like the stars in the sky, like sand on the beaches. And your descendants will defeat their enemies. All nations on earth will find themselves blessed through your descendants because you obeyed me.
Yeah. Third lesson, Isaiah 9:2 and 6-7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For those who lived in a land of deep shadows, light, sunburst of light. For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be Amazing Counselor, Strong God, and Prince of Wholeness. His ruling authority will grow, and there will be no limits to the wholeness he brings. He'll rule from the historic David throne over that promised kingdom. He'll put that kingdom on a firm footing and keep it going with fair dealing and right living, beginning now and lasting always.
Lesson 4, Micah 5, 2-5a. But you, Bethlehem, David's country, the runt of the litter, from you will come the leader who will shepherd rule Israel. He'll be no upstart, no pretender. His family tree is ancient and distinguished. Meanwhile, Israel will be in foster homes until the birth pangs are over and the child is born. And the scattered brothers come back home to the family of Israel. He will stand in his shepherd rule by God's strength. Centered in the majesty of God revealed, and the people will have a good and safe home, for the whole world will hold him with respect, peacemaker of the world.
Fifth lesson, Luke 1:26-35 and verse 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph, and the virgin's name, Mary. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. "Good morning, you're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you." She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, "Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great, be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom." Mary said to the angel, "But how? I've never slept with a man." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is, 6 months pregnant. Nothing you see is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me, just as you say." Then the angel left her.
Sixth lesson, Luke 2, 1 through 7. About that time, Caesar Augustus ordered a census to be taken throughout the empire. This was the first census when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to travel to his own ancestor hometown to be accounted for, so Joseph went from the Galilean town of Nazareth up to Bethlehem in Judah, David's town, for the census. As a descendant of David, he had to go there. He went with Mary, his fiancée, who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to a son, her firstborn. He wrapped him in a blanket, laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the hotel.
Thank you. was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. They looked up and saw a star shining in the east beyond the far, and to the earth it gave great life, and so it continued both day and night. Noel, 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 King of Israel.
Seventh lesson, Luke 2, 8 through 16. There were shepherds camping in the neighborhood. They had set their night watches over their sheep. Suddenly, God's angel stood among them, and God's glory blazed around them. They were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody. Worldwide, a Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket, lying in a manger." At once, the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir, singing God's praises. "Glory to God in the heavenly lights. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him." As the angel choir withdrew into heaven, the shepherds talked it over. "Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." They left, running, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger.
Sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Say, what may the tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria
Eighth lesson, Matthew 2:1-11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem village, Judah territory, this was during Herod's kingship. A band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We're on a pilgrimage to worship him." When word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified, and not Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem as well. Herod lost no time. He gathered all the high priests and religion scholars in the city together and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" They told him, "Bethlehem, Judah territory." The prophet Micah wrote it plainly, "It's you, Bethlehem, in Judah's land, no longer bringing up the rear. From you will come the leader who will shepherd rule my people, my Israel."
Herod then arranged a secret meeting with the scholars from the east. Pretending to be as devout as they were, he got them to tell him exactly when the birth announcement star appeared. Then he told them the prophecy about Bethlehem and said, "Go find this child, leave no stone unturned. As soon as you find him, send word, and I'll join you at once in your worship." Instructed by the king, they set off. Then the star appeared again, the same star they had seen in the eastern skies. It led them on until it hovered over the place of the child. They could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. They entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and worshipped him. Then they opened their luggage and presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Bearing gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. O star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity nigh. Fair and praising, we are racing, worship him, God on high. O star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Mirth and wine with bitter perfume, breathe the life of gathering gloom. Soaring, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. O star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, peace. us to thy perfect light.
Oh, yeah, that might be good.
The ninth lesson is from the Gospel of John in the first chapter, and it's the first 14 verses. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God, in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. There was once a man, his name was John, sent by God to point out the way to the life light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John was not himself the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world. The world was there through him, and yet the world didn't even notice him. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, and not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. I'm actually going to play now. I'm going to let Lloyd out. We thought at least one thing to be organic in there. We've done this before.
Oh.
In Spanish. Now you get to do it in English.
Oh, okay.
I think there might be words that'll come up too.
Okay.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, run young virgin, child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from
the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Two prayers. Almighty God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer. We may with sure confidence behold him when he shall come to be our judge, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'm going to say a blessing, and then I'm going to ask Keith if he has anything to add. I hope he does. In the Old Testament, fathers to their sons, fathers to their daughters, priests to their congregations, said this, and I think it's better than anything I could ever come up with. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Amen.
Thank you for doing all this. I contacted him before I knew I'd be having no voice. I felt like you were supposed to lead this service, and I really appreciate the work you put into that and every one of you guys. I'm taken back when I went to Jerusalem recently. I was taken back by a couple of things, and it was in perspective as we were celebrating. First, all the Christmas carols were so filled with the gospel. Such powerful words. And we sometimes throw them in with the whole Christmas commercialized thing, but they're so powerful. So I love that you had every verse, every teaching with one of those powerful songs. Being in Israel, I realized something. Galilee is where Jesus grew up. Nazareth is a city along the river of Sea of Galilee. And it's not the up and tidy area. It's not Buckhead. It's more like Clarkston where we live now. It's one of the lower class areas, one of the poor areas. And that's why in the scripture, someone said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Because it was very low education, very low class. But Bethlehem is 7 miles from Jerusalem. Bethlehem is incorporated in the city of Jerusalem. Right now there's a wall between the two because Bethlehem is occupied by the Palestinians or the West Bank. But there's very close to Calvary, 7 miles. He was born 7 miles from where he died. Very interesting. And I kept thinking, God orchestrated the whole thing because of the city of David, of course, that he went for the census and was born in Bethlehem. But it's not a coincidence that it's so close to where the end came for him as well. God is always about perfection. He's always about his plan. He's always about the divine. And even at Christmas, it's not so much about just his birth,
but it's what his birth represented, that we now have a way to get to God the Father. That birth wasn't this little innocent baby being born. It was the fact that our new life was capable of being born in that time. And of course, it came to fruition on the cross. At this time, I know that some of us are not in the most happy mode. The kids love Christmas because Santa visits, and, you know, when your kids get older, I know parents, it's not as special. And sometimes Christmas is not the best time in our life. Ed's stuck right now. He's supposed to be home, and his work messed things up, and now he's stuck in White Plains, New York for Christmas. And he was frustrated because at 5:30 this morning, he's like, I can't believe they did this to me. I got the airport in my flight. They wouldn't let me board because he's not legal to fly. Because of the, he got in late last night, so he's stuck there until tomorrow. So, yeah, at the same time, I know that life deals us things that are not always the best. But I know one thing. That's it. She knows too. That because of a baby being born, nothing would ever be the same. And through ups and downs, through loneliness, through hardships, through sickness, through difficult times, that is still the hope we hold on to. And his name is Jesus. So would you stand with me for a minute? And I'm going to ask you to join hands with the person next to you. Now, Father, right now, I pray for the person to my right and to my left. I don't know what they're going through, but you know what they're going through. And I thank you that your hand is still on them. Even though things may not look so clear, may not be so clear. It may not be what we had in our mind or in our heart or in our sight or in our thoughts or what we thought you were doing. I still know one thing, that you are still God and you are still in control. So to the person on my right, I thank you that you are ordering their steps and you are still, Father, creating your perfect will in their life. For the person to my left, I thank you that even though we may have lost people in our life this year, we may have lost family, we may have lost those who were so close to us, you, God, have promised never to leave or forsake us. And for that, we're grateful. I'm thankful that throughout this season that may be so hard because of it, that you will hold us in a special place and you will let us sense your presence in a way we've never sensed your presence before. And we thank you for that. I thank you for the gifts that you've given in this body. I thank you for the ones that you've brought into our family. And though even though we may not even have family here physically, we have family here spiritually, and we're grateful for that. I'm thankful for the new names you're giving us. Even though our birth name may have been meant for one thing, there's a new name you're giving us, and I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, for the many blessings you've given us. And at this time, we just want to thank you and say, we adore you and we worship you because you are faithful. This Christmas, Father, we thank you for this Christmas Eve that represents your birth. We're thankful for this Christmas Eve that represents life and light. And Father, I thank you for your continued goodness and greatness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.